occasionally, I feel like the Lord speaks really, really loud. I'm not talking about an audible voice, but sometimes he just speaks where, I don't know. Have you ever heard the Lord speak to you in a way that until you acknowledge that it's him, he won't stop? You ever had that? It's like banging in your head, almost like a drum beat. He just keeps going and keeps going until you go, okay, now I get it. Now I understand. It's you, Lord. Well, that's what happened today. I don't think that I have ever preached a message about Christmas, except for the Sunday that's closest to Christmas, and then I barely pull that off. I'm not some to usually follow the, you know, it's this holiday, so we have to speak that way, and I don't usually follow that theme, but the Lord woke me up this morning with a drum beat that would not stop. So I'm going to give you part of it because I already gave you part of it in the bulletin. It says, "All I Want for Christmas." If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. While you're turning there, this is the time of season we have finally arrived. Whereas pretty much almost a really huge portion of the country has their Christmas trees up, their decorations up, some gifts bought. There is red and green everywhere, tinsel and lights. You can't hardly turn a channel on television without seeing a Christmas movie. It's everywhere. You just hardly can get away from it. And for some people, that's awesome because this is their favorite time of year, like Tammy. I was in barbershop yesterday, and well, beauty salon, whatever you call it nowadays. And I heard a gentleman say his wife had their Christmas tree up 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. That means the middle of November, she had her Christmas tree up. Now, granted, I know at this time, you know, this where we are in life, some people are just too busy. They know that this is when they have to schedule it. They have to get it up, so they do it now. But some, like Tammy, we have to hold her back from putting trees up. Did you catch that, plural? Trees up too early. I think 1 year we had 4, 5. A lot. So if you look around the church, there's at least 4. There are many emotions this time of year. Like I said, for some, this is the favorite time of year. While others can't wait for it to get over. They just can't wait for this to pass. And some of them are the ones who have to pay the bills from this season. It'll take the next few seasons maybe to pay for it. But there are others who have had a negative thing happen in their life. And so this time of year is just, it hurts too hard. It hurts too much. There's nothing worse than a happy, heartfelt season that has been crushed by the loss of a loved one somewhere near that season. Kind of makes it a little bit of a bitter, sweet time. The holiday season brings out the best and the worst in people. If you don't believe me, go to Walmart on Black Friday. or any other day between then and now. It's a zoo. It's crazy. Absolutely nuts. Doesn't seem to matter what time of day or night. Walmart's open 24 hours a day. You can go in there at 3 o'clock in the morning and they're still nuts. Commercialism has seized upon the opportunity to capitalize on the season where we are probably our most generous. We have our lists. Who and what we want to get everyone for Christmas. I know in my family, I've heard conversations go something like this. What do you want for Christmas? Hey, can you be my spy and ask my husband what he wants for Christmas? Hey, what do you think Mom wants? Hey, what size is Keegan? What size shoes does Grayson wear? A lot of these kinds of conversations happen around this time of year. When we're looking over our lists and want to make sure our gift is either needed or wanted or at least enjoyed. And it's the right size. Let's read Matthew 2, starting with verse 1. Now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? I think it's kind of interesting that they were called wise men, because today, you've heard the saying, wise men still seek him. For we have seen this star in the east and are come to worship him. Do you guys know why they saw the star? They came from the east, and the east is where Daniel had been. And Daniel was one of the wisest men, and he had probably written down in their whatever books they had at the time about the prophecy of the Messiah. And so these men, these learned scholars, these magi, had figured that they were looking for a certain star. They didn't call it a star. They called it his star. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye had found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the child was. Now, somehow or another, we get this idea that there was three wise men, and they found him in the manger, and that's not really true. That's not what it says. There were wise men. There were magi. Could have been more than one. Men. Two or five. Or 25. We don't know. But we know he wasn't in the manger because they were worried about how old he had been, how old he had become, and they didn't find him in the stable. They found him in a home. When they saw the star, they rejoiced and with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Sometimes we get some little slogans, and we use them without really thinking about what it means. Wise men still seek him, for example. Jesus is the reason for the season. These are good sayings, but they're also good and true. The reason we celebrate Christmas at all is because of the birth of Christ. Like I was saying, the season is somewhat of a strange season. Sometimes we spend more money than we have to spend. Spend bill money. We charge too much on the credit cards. Do whatever it takes to make sure our kids get a good Christmas. But this morning, I heard a pounding in my head that would not go away. Woke me up at 3:30. And I went back to sleep. And about 4 o'clock, it came again. And from 4 o'clock to 4:45, when I finally said, fine, I will get up, I kept hearing this really, really loud. All I want for Christmas is you. I thought, you know, isn't it amazing that he's been for centuries just trying to get our attention? We feel like a lot of times that we've got to have the best gifts to bring him. The wise men, they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. Those are valuable things. They're precious. But what he really wants is you. See, if he has you, he's got your stuff. But he says, I'll let you keep your stuff. I just want you. Sometimes we overcomplicate things. We want to do great and wonderful things, buy the best gift for the ones we love. And that's all good, but what is wanted more than anything is you. You are the most valuable thing you have to give. You are the most valuable thing you have to give. You know why? You know what makes something precious? You know what something makes something valuable is the rarity of it. If it's really rare, it becomes more valuable. It becomes more precious. And you guys hear me say a lot of times when we do communion that the blood of Jesus Christ is the most precious commodity to ever hit planet Earth. And it is. But in his eyes, the most valuable thing, the most precious thing there is you. Because there is nobody like you. You are the only one that is you. Nobody else can give your praise. Nobody else can give your worship. And nobody else can give your heart. Nobody else can give you for Christmas but you. And I really feel like the Lord spoke very clearly in my spirit this morning that all he wants for Christmas this year is you. All of you. not a part of you. See, he's had a part of us for a while. He's had bits and pieces of us for a while. We've kind of traded that sometimes. We'll say, okay, I'll tell you what, God, I'll give you this part of my heart. Give me back that part that I gave you earlier. I'll tell you what, let's trade. You can have this part for a while and let me hold on to that part. But never do we really give him all of us. He wants you for Christmas. The people we buy gifts for are the people that we love, our family. The song we sang this morning, that we are a part of the family of God. His blood flows through my veins. He is my daddy. He's my papa. He is my Abba Father. He's family. And nobody's done any more for me than he has. How about you? Is he worth giving the best gift you can give? Is he worth really giving him your heart? That's what he wants. For this Christmas, he wants you. There's a song that says, all I want for Christmas is you. There's a line in there, I think it's the chorus. It says, I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you. And I can hear him singing. You know, the scripture says that he sings over us. He sings over us. I could hear him singing that this morning. All I want for Christmas is you. He loves us. And he wants us to trust him with all of us. He wants every part of us, not holding anything back. Not saying, I need to hold this part. I need to reserve this part for later. I wrote this in my notes, so I'm going to say it. And it's hard to say sometimes because I know y'all pretty well. Sometimes we're guilty of flirting with the Lord. Sometimes we give him the bat of the eye. A grin. We're aware of him. We know he's there, and we like that. So we kind of flirt with him a little bit. Some of us may have even progressed from flirting, and we're really in full-fledged dating mode. I believe that this morning, in that analogy, he's calling us to the next level and saying, I don't want to just date you. I want to spend the rest of your life with you. I want to really take it to the next level of commitment. I want all of you. I don't want to just flirt with you. I don't want you to just date me. I want you to be my bride. I want you to give all of you. Would you stand with me this morning? Sometimes in our human relationships, we hold things back. We keep a part of our heart reserved for just in case. We've been hurt before. We've been used before. We've been abused before. We've been taken advantage of before. And so we have grown accustomed to being a little bit reserved and holding a little bit back. Why? When it comes to God, why? Just let him have all of you. Hold nothing back. Hold nothing in reserve. Let him have all of you. That's his Christmas wish this morning. All he wants for Christmas is you. Heavenly Father, we love you, we honor you, and we bless your people this morning. Lord, we ask that you would overwhelm them fresh and new this morning with your love. Let them experience an overwhelming desire to love on you and to give our hearts completely to you, holding nothing back, holding nothing in reserve for a rainy day or just in case. Lord, I pray that you would bring us to a level of trust in you that we know that you have got us completely. We give you the honor and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like to receive prayer this morning, we'd be honored to pray with you. If you feel like you've been fighting with the next level of commitment that you need to make with him, I want to give you the opportunity for us to pray with you. You guys know me, and you know I don't. Very rarely do I say, and I really feel like the Lord told me. But I'm telling you this morning that the message was very loud and very clear. When he spoke in my spirit, all I want for Christmas is you. Otherwise, get yourself some chili before I get out there and get the rest. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Come back tonight. Now, next Sunday night, there won't be any service because that'll be our Christmas Sunday, basically. So I think it was in the bulletin, right? But, okay. All right. Be blessed in Jesus' name. And Merry Christmas.